Recordings in progress. I am joined by Anthony Hoyes. How you doing, Anthony? Lead singer of Zurg. How you getting on, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on, mate. Good to have you on. It's I'm expanding the horizons, and I've been looking forward to this as obviously into the sort of same sort of kind of music and all that sort of stuff. But it's also good to have someone on who doesn't really kind of hasn't got an agenda, who doesn't want to sell stuff, courses, and all that sort of niff naff and trivia that I'm seeming to get a lot of messages about. So it's refreshing, especially when before we just talked beforehand, Anthony just turned around and said, "I'll talk about anything," and I love that. Love that aspect. So thank you for saving me.
Well, again, thanks for having me, and hopefully we can get into some interesting topics here.
God, I love it. Well, I'm not going to lie to you. The whole world's gone to shit, so there's going to be a few topics we can talk about, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah, and that's sort of, you know, like I said, I'm not selling anything. I do have an album that's coming out soon. I'm a musician, but we'll get to that, but don't worry about buying it. It's not ready yet anyway, but, you know, we'll talk about it. And those things have to do with the world going to shit, so.
Crisis with men. What's it been like over your neck of it? Because you're over as Arizona, you guys are.
Arizona is a very interesting place. We don't have a lot of the same problems that other places do. You know, there's no mask mandate here. There's no, technically, there's no vaccine mandate in a lot of places, even though they still ask you to do it and they still try to tell you to do it. I'm in the process of suing two places right now over mask and vaccine nonsense. So,
what are you suing them for? Why are you suing them? What's the deal with the suing situation? What's this about?
Well, okay, so essentially, there is no law, and that's pretty much the case everywhere. There is no law. It's just somebody saying something, and then that's that.
Right.
That doesn't really work for me. So I'm, you know, not going to allow that. And it's my assertion that you know, here in America, but everywhere, we're not a free country. Nowhere is a free country. We're all owned by somebody. You know, there are, we'll call them, for the purposes of being polite, we'll just call them dark suits.
Bankers, dark suits. what's the big family called that owns the world? What are they called?
Well, there's the one that everyone knows about, which is the Rothschilds.
The Rothschilds, that's the one.
They don't own anything. Those are the middlemen.
Oh, really? Okay.
There is this thing, and I don't know, because, you know, we don't ever know. But you know, the people who are in control, we're never going to know their names. There was a family that came from the French nobility. They sent them over to England. It's the Pacer family. You're not allowed to talk about the Pacer family, by the way. You can do episodes on the Pacer family. If you do a podcast, they will be censored by whoever releases them. You're not allowed to talk about the Pacer family on social media.
Let's put that to the test. Let's put that to the fucking test. Let's do it. Let's talk about it. Let's put it to the test.
A lot of things will happen when you really go deep on these people. Now, who are the Pacer family?
Go on.
Historical records are a little shaky, because a lot of these people, they don't have they don't register their births the same way that you and I have to. There are certain things that happen in these bloodline families, but this one in particular. You can pull up a list of their holdings. The Pacer Family Trust is what it was called. And that was the Virginia company. That's the first corporation in the United States. They essentially owned everything in the United States. So the way it works is, it's a railroad scam. The way that the railroads used to work here when the country first started was, everything within 10 miles east and west of where you have a railroad line is owned by the railroad company. The railroad company was the Pacer family. So they essentially own everything, and it goes on and on. You can see their list of holdings from when they died. It went down to his daughters. When they ended up dying, it goes down just a list of, it's essentially all the Fortune 500 companies are owned by the Pesor Family Trust. That goes into something called the DTC, the DTCC, which we still have today. That's the way stock markets are, we'll call them populated. It's a clearinghouse for all stocks. So in order for you to have a stock on the stock market, you have to give up 90% of your control of your company to the DTC. So, you know, let's just say Elon Musk allegedly owns Tesla. He doesn't own Tesla. He is the company figurehead of owning Tesla. It's a publicly traded company that he's had to give up control over to the DTC. That is a, it's, I said, it's a trust. It's a clearinghouse for all stocks. That topic alone is like 3-4 hours of lecturing to really even get a grasp on something. But yeah, so I mean, that's what we're talking about. So we're owned by other people. Here in the United States, our laws are not real. We'll say that.
What do you mean they're not real? What do you mean?
There are some things that are real. So there's natural law, universal law, you can call it. And that's, you know, don't kill, don't break somebody's free will, you know, stuff like that. But, you know, traffic laws, those aren't real. Those are suggestions. You don't have to have a driver's license. You don't have to have a driver's or a license plate. You don't have to have insurance. None of that's real. You don't have to obey the rules of the road. You should. I'm not saying not to do it. You should. But essentially, as long as you're not committing a crime to where you're causing loss, damage, or harm on another person, and that word person is tricky too, but another, let's say, man or woman, it really doesn't matter. You know, there, no, a police officer can see you doing something wrong. And unless you've caused that individual loss, harm, or damage, technically you've committed no crime. And that's the way it's really, we are fooled by words. We are fooled by into giving our authority to other people. No one has dominion over us. So when I say something like the law doesn't work for me, it's because one, there is no law, but even if there was a law, who is that person to make a law to tell me what to do?
Well, surely it's part of society. That's what they should make, like, in like a society is built on, like, kind of socialism and all that sort of stuff. You have to have, like, people to kind of make sure there's no anarchy sort of things. So I can imagine the reason why there are these sort of things. Otherwise, there'll be like fucking Mad Max scenario getting on involved.
Well, I think there's Mad Max scenario going on now, pretty much. I mean, just look at what's going on in some of these streets out there. I mean, I don't know how it is where you're at, but I mean, here in the United States, here in Arizona, we're allowed to have guns. So, nobody, you don't hear about gun violence in Arizona because it's not real. There is no gun violence necessarily. There's gun violence when you have criminals and you have a population that isn't allowed to have guns. So, you know, let's say Chicago. Chicago's a major city here. They're not allowed to have guns. There are hundreds of gun deaths there every single day, because criminals have run wild with guns and the police don't do anything about it. Here in Arizona, everyone's allowed to have a gun. So you don't run into those problems. And that's sort of a simplistic way to look at it. But, you know, it's society is one thing, but, you know, society has nothing to do with laws. You know, if you want to, you know, live in a city, you should be able to do things and be reasonably safe. But again, no one has the authority to tell you, you know, what you can and can't do with your body. Your body is your property. So if someone's telling you to wear a mask, to, you know, take a vaccine that, you know, isn't a vaccine by actual definitions of it, you know, and if you want to get into all that, we can. But if someone's trying to tell you what to do, and, you know, if we all have a set of, we'll call them understandings, you know, whether you're a religious person or not, you know, if you're a rule of law person, all of the laws essentially are based on the Bible. They're based on, you know, our religious, traditions, we'll call them. you know, at least here in America, I know it's the same in Europe. You know, that's how it is in a lot of places. Your laws are based on your religious text. And, you know, in the United States, our laws actually say that the Bible is the foundation that our laws are built upon. And so when you see people trying to go after Christianity and I'm not necessarily even a Christian, but, you know, there is a Christian ethos in the Western culture that is under attack.
If you have a business, you need a website. What's the best way to get a website up and running? Choose a website hosting company that makes it simple, like Pear Networks. Pear has over 20 years of experience managing the entire digital ecosystem for thousands of online businesses all around the world. Pear makes it easy for you with do-it-yourself website building tools and features, including simple drag-and-drop page design. And they have guaranteed US-based support technicians ready to help you whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right now, when you sign up with Pear Networks, you receive 1 free month of web hosting. See for yourself how easy it is to build your website for free. Visit pear.com/free to get your first month of website hosting for free by using the code QUICKSTART. That's pear.com/free, promo code QUICKSTART to get started today.
And that is part of it. There is a rule of law that they're trying to... we're going to say they're trying to change. And that's when you get into the World Economic Forum, you look into Klaus Schwab, the Great Reset, you know, their whole thing is the Great Narrative. That's their new thing. The Great Narrative is,
yeah, I've heard that.
Essentially their new religion, that they are changing the Bible. They're changing different things. They're bringing, all sort of religions together. The Pope's in on this, talking about a one world religion. And this is all stuff straight out of Revelation saying that the world's going to end. I'm not saying that. The Bible says that.
No, but, people have been saying that for the past 100 years sort of thing, you know?
Correct, nothing correct. New. Yeah. I'm not the one saying it, but when you have people who are our religious leaders, we'll call them, like the Pope and like these other people who are signing on to, you know, the great narrative that they're doing now, these are all people who are supposed to be believing in the Bible, and it's right out of the Bible saying if you have a one world religion, that's how the Antichrist comes, and you know, this is how this and that comes, and you have the mark of the beast with these vaccines and this and that. And you know, it's the whole thing is pageantry, it's theater, but it's theater where a lot of people, you know, there are billions of people who believe this stuff. So at some point, you know, you have to sort of figure out what's going to happen. Are you going to be going along with something that, you know, I don't know. To me, it doesn't seem right. So I'm not going to be part of it.
So you say you'll not be part, but then what's the deal with the kind of shoeing side of things? Obviously, because is it because they're telling you the mandate you have to wear a mask sort of thing? You have to do this and that.
An example of why I'm still in one place. So I am on dialysis.
Right.
I have end-stage kidney failure. And so I have to get dialysis. So one of the dialysis companies I was going to told me I had to wear a mask. Now, legally, I don't have to wear a mask. There's no law. And then the nature of just the type of business it is, under the actual law, they're considered what's called a public accommodation. Public accommodations cannot mandate anything upon the public. They can request, but if they have any kind of issues, then you don't have to go by those standards and those laws to protect people who essentially don't have to go by those standards. And so right now, all of these companies are under this idea, and you know, they're telling you straight up that essentially you have to do this or you're not going to get service with us. You know, so I was told explicitly, you know, you will not be treated with dialysis services unless you wear a mask, which that would kill me if I don't get dialysis. So they're telling me you have to do something that's going to harm you, because wearing a mask will actually harm me.
Yeah. Why would it harm you? Is that just because of the breathing problems? Or
it harms for various reasons, but I mean, there's actually studies you can look up. You know, on our
our main website for in the United States is the NIH website. That the CDC is the main thing. So on the CDC website and the NIH website, there are studies all about masks, and there are hundreds and hundreds of studies about these masks. And essentially, they all say that masks have absolutely no effect with COVID, and that it's they collect what's considered to be gross droplets. So if you are infected and you're spitting, then it's going to collect your spit, but the germ itself can still pass right through any kind of a mask. And that's why masks don't work in COVID situations, and that's why they tell you to wear a mask.
Well, you see, I know what you said. It's like I've heard about the mask situation. I've heard there's some stories, some people have been talking about this. I know that the people are now starting to kind of use like cloth masks, you know, and they've been using that. I've heard that they are not supposed to be like, they don't do fuck all sort of thing, let's be honest. And I've heard that all the time. But what about the surgical ones? Yes. You know, the ones that the doctors, the blue ones and all that, they've actually shown that they actually do work, because otherwise, why the hell would doctors wear them sort of thing?
Well, again, those masks, if you're talking about N95 masks, those are slightly different, but those aren't surgical masks. Surgical masks are just the paper masks still. That's what they're called here. They're just paper masks. Those don't work at all. You know, you can put them on and take a bong hit out of it and still be able to inhale the smoke and exhale the smoke right out of it.
Yeah.
And smoke particles are larger than what COVID particles are. So it makes no difference. On top of that, there's all kinds of bacterial problems that you can get. Dr. Fauci wrote a paper in 2008. It's on the NIH website, talking about how during the Spanish flu of 1918, most of the deaths were caused by bacterial pneumonia caused by wearing masks.
Right.
You can fact check it, and the fact checkers will say, oh, no, he didn't write that paper, but he himself did not know. He is one of like five writers who did it. So, no, he himself did not write the paper, but he contributed to the paper. So these are the things. I read all of these medical journals. I read, all of this stuff. And it's when you actually read it and you can understand what it is, then you see what it is. And then more so than that, we'll get to that in a second. But as far as it harming, it masks can do all kinds of harm. On top of that, masks weren't required. And it's a very interesting timeline. Masks weren't ever required here until China sent an email to Dr. Fauci saying that President Xi wears a mask and he would like if Americans would wear a mask as well. That comes from his emails that were released under FOIA. And then the second they got that email, that's when he started saying, oh no, we need to start wearing masks here in America. So I'm not these people's property, so I'm not going to wear a mask if someone tells me to. Now, if I feel it's going to help me, then I'll wear one. And I don't care if anyone wears one, but no one's going to tell me to wear one. Now, it's a little different if I'm going to, a private situation, I'm going to somebody's house and they say, hey, would you wear a mask for a minute? It's your house. Sure, I'll wear a mask if you want me to. That's a little different. But if it's a business that's open to the public, then that's completely different. You know, my money, my tax money goes for paying for that building. So I'm allowed to go in there anytime I want.
Surely when you're obviously wearing the masks, They must. You mentioned there. You said you would wear one going into someone's house. Why would you wear one going into someone's house?
I wouldn't, to be honest with you. But if I was going to be at a friend's house or something, and they said, "Hey, would you wear a mask? I have an old elderly parent or whatever," I probably wouldn't go over to their house. But if I was already there, I'd throw one on for a minute and jump in and say hi and that sort of thing. I have no problem with that. Okay. It is being requested. That's different than being forced.
Right. Okay. Well, I can understand where you're coming from in that sort of scenario. Yeah. I've got a kind of grips of it there. So, but the thing is if they turn around and say that masks aren't actually, don't do anything, say a thing, why are they forcing it? Why do you think they're forcing it down? What do you think of that?
There are documents from the United Nations. You can go to the United Nations website and pull up these documents.
Yeah.
World Economic Forum, same thing. All of these places, they all have these documents these war games that they've done years in advance, talking about top-down government control and how they're going to use a pandemic to essentially bring in martial law and all these other horrible things for us. And the mask is part of these documents that the earliest one I saw was, I don't know, early 2000s, talking about how they're going to do this. Right. And the mask is a symbol of subservience. It's a symbol of, you know,
oppression and stuff like that.
What was that? I'm sorry.
It's like you say it's like a symbol of oppression.
In a way, yeah, it is a symbol of, you know, and you look at, I don't like the guy, but you look at Jeff Bezos. Okay, there's some photos of him just came out recently of him on his mega yacht, and him and his wife and their guests, they're not wearing masks, but they've got all their servants masked up. That's a little funny. You know, you see all the things with our politicians. None of them are wearing masks, but anytime they're with, you know, waiters and waitresses, they're always wearing masks. They're always having these events where the staff is always having to wear masks, but yeah, you know, all these rich people don't have to. And that's the other thing. These people don't wear masks unless they're on TV and all of that, because they know it does no good. But as far as why they're doing it, it's all an issue of control. Unfortunately, we're all failing at this because we're willingly just doing it. And again, if you want to wear a mask, I have no problem with you wearing a mask, but you know, that's your decision. Your decision shouldn't affect me.
That's fair. I can understand that. It's obviously, it's each to their own. I think what it is there's so much, conflicting, sort of like kind of information out there, you know, and it's, I think people are just, I'm starting to get sick of it, to be fair, you know. It's, I mean, over here in the UK, it's probably a little bit different. It's like, oh, one minute, yes, please wear a mask. And then the next minute, you've got this new variant coming out. You have to wear a mask, or you don't need to wear. You have to wear a mask going into a shop, but out in the street, you're okay. And it's just like, why? What is? I didn't realize that fucking COVID can't survive in a street, you know what I mean? Obviously, because so, I didn't realize that. It's like, oh, sorry, can't go outside, you know? And it has a lot of conflicting scenarios and a lot of conflicting instructions as well. And I do you know, especially what it's like over here is people are now starting to get sick of it. You know, we're now talking because we've got the Omicron variant over here, and everyone's now talking about, well, they were talking about going into like a lockdown sort of thing. Everyone has to get locked down again. And everyone's like, and all the people, my friends and people I work with, all the people are saying, oh, we ain't going to fucking do that anymore. It's proven, we've had three lockdowns so far, and it's obviously proven not to work. The only thing that has proven is that people don't want to do it and people suffer from it because of the mental health aspects of everything, you know? So people are putting their foot down over here. We're like, no, we ain't doing it. And it actually just came out today. Oh, our fearless leader, old Boris, he's turned around and said that there's no lockdown going to be issued. And it's like everyone just went, yeah, because if you did, we wouldn't fucking do anything about it.
And I think that's what people need to start saying is no, because again, in these documents, they talk about these lockdowns happening. And I'm not saying that these documents are necessarily what they're going off of, but when you see them and it lays out nearly perfectly exactly what's happening, these things are written, you know, a decade ahead of time. It's a little scary. And you see it over and over again. And, you know, for example, there's a document called the SPARS pandemic, 2025 through 2028. You can type that in. You can look at it yourself. It is essentially the time period that we're living in right now of this rush to a vaccine. We were given the vaccine. The vaccine started killing a lot of people. And then we started getting angry. And the people who made the vaccine, the scientists, the politicians who rushed it through, they come out and they get in trouble for it. And, you know, then the people feel like they're, you know, they're getting something back and, you know, all of this. And then the UN comes in and they save the day with all these, you know, new systems and this and that, and this new kind of government. And that's exactly their plan. And that's what they're doing here again. And it's over and over again, you see it and you see these lockdowns, and we haven't even begun to get to the lockdowns that they've described in these documents yet. You know, they talk about easing, you know, it's like a boa constrictor. They don't just squeeze you and squeeze you. They have to keep letting you loose. So you struggle a little bit. You think you're free and you stop fighting and they get you again. And that's what's going to happen again here in the United States. We're going to have something horrible happen here in the next few months. It's not, I'm not going to say it's not going to be real. It's probably going to be very real, but it's going to be a psyop and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a lie, I'm sure. You know, anything on the news you hear is a lie, but you know, there's going to be something to shut down our midterm elections because they know that they can't continue this whole thing if we have an actual free and open election. Unfortunately, we don't have free and open elections here, and that was proven during our last election. But yeah, this new one is not gonna it's not gonna be good because something very bad is gonna have to happen for them to remain in control without having any kind of violence.
Yeah,
and I don't want violence. I'm not calling for that, but
of course not.
There are a lot of angry people, and there's only so much that people are going to take. Just like you were saying, you know, they're not going to take lockdowns anymore, and you know, we're not going to keep being told that our vote counts when clearly it doesn't. And you know, this is what a lot of people are going to have to realize is that there's we don't live in the kind of country that we think we do, and that there's a lot of bad things happening around us that we haven't quite felt yet, but that doesn't mean that they're not real.
You think people are starting to kind of wake up to everything, really, to be fair? Like you mentioned a lot of these kind of secrets, and things are now starting to come to the surface, and they're sick of being lied to. Because they see that, obviously, from over here in the UK, we see a lot of like the news and the NBC and the CNNs and the Fox News are now starting to get basically shat on by everyone saying now. Because people are now getting their information elsewhere, like for instance, podcasts and stuff like that, people are getting information elsewhere. And it's actually real information, not watered down, or you have to say this, and not biased, if that makes sense. You know, do you think people are starting to really kind of understand that?
I think that they are. And I think it's part of the plan, because again, in these documents, it talks about how we have to have a great reset. We have to tear down our existing institutions, and that includes government. And then again, our pal Klaus Schwab talks about, you know, how he wants to overthrow democracies worldwide, and that's the whole goal of the World Economic Forum. And you know, we have to prepare for an angrier world, and from that we're gonna, you know, burn down these existing things and we're gonna build something new. And that's the whole Build Back Better agenda that Joe Biden's pushing, and Trudeau in Canada is pushing, and you know, all these other places are talking about Build Back Better. That is a straight World Economic Forum UN document talking about essentially communism worldwide. And communism itself isn't even the problem, which is a wild thing for me to be saying, because I hate communism. But aside from that, it's globalism.
Communism's efficient, let's put it straight, but that's about it.
It's efficient in murdering, yeah,
exactly.
I mean, it's, yeah, by all means, that's the way to go if you're trying to kill people. But yeah, I got a question for you. You know, how's the news for you over there in terms of you know, the whole Epstein thing and Ghislaine Maxwell? Do you guys hear a lot about it over there?
We've seen the Epstein thing when it first came over, when it first started and all that sort of stuff, and we just seen about it. It was like, yeah, obviously the guy obviously kind of got murdered in his jail cell and all that sort of stuff. That's a blatant truth. That's obviously what happened. And it makes me laugh that they actually tried to say, oh yeah, oh, Jeffrey killed himself. Well, there's evidence to say that he didn't. Why are you still lying to us, sort of thing? And then obviously it's the snowball effect that came from it, that hold on a minute, and everything started to unravel. And then everything, all celebrities were involved. And then obviously Clinton was involved and his plane and his private bloody island and all that sort of stuff. And then the kind of pedophilia was kicking in. And then all of a sudden we were okay with that, because we were like, oh yeah, we're just sitting in the background. We're just sitting there going, oh God, fucking hell, this is mental. And then all of a sudden one of our own gets caught up in it. And not even one of our own, one of the royal family, it's Andrew, wasn't it? He got rocked up and now he's involved in it. And now it's just like, okay, here we go. Now it's time to get involved. In all fairness, when it comes to him, he was probably one of the least liked royal members that we've got in the country. Nobody gives a fuck about him anyway. You know, it's he was a bit of a dick.
Yeah.
It's the main one, the people we have here, the main ones that people like over here are obviously the Queen, and then you've got hierarchy sort of thing, then you've got Prince Wales and his missies, and then below that you've got Harry. The rest of the other royal family, nobody gives a fuck about, you know, and that's, and everyone's like, oh, the royal family are great. Yeah, they're great, but nobody gives a fuck about the rest of them, especially Andrew and Philip, who gives a shit. But how he's actually now palming off and trying to settle out of court everything, why would you do that if you didn't have something to hide? That's all I'm saying.
I thought it was amusing that he's trying to get out of the lawsuit with Virginia because she's an Australian citizen now. And they said because she's an Australian citizen, she can't sue him. But they ruled that she could because she was a U.S. citizen when it happened. So I thought that was kind of clever the way they got him on that. But
he's trying his hardest to get away from it. And he's trying it.
Yeah, just the fact that he tried something like that's guilty of sin.
I mean, the thing is, we won't know. I don't think everyone will know exactly what happened over there on that fucking aisle. I think people do know, but if it comes to light anytime soon, I don't think it will be anytime soon. It probably will be at some point. Not in our lifetime. It'll be long after everyone's dead and we're old men sort of thing. When we're sitting pushing 70, that's when they'll decide to release it because no one will give a shit after that. And then it'll just be like, okay. And it's like, that's when it'll come out. Simple things like, everything like that comes out 40, 50, 60 years later when no one gives a fuck and all that. That's when it'll come out. But I don't know, Anthony. It's just mental. It's a mental situation. It makes me laugh. And it makes me wonder what the Queen's saying about it because she's a boss. She's a gangster. She don't take no shit. And I'm surprised that she's not really kind of piping up and doing something about that, to be quite honest. She might have. She might have like done something in the background. But do you know, is she working like, is she actually being a queen and looking after the country, or is she being a mother and looking after a son? This is where you have to weigh up, really, don't you?
Well, the Queen's another interesting person to me because I don't like her and I don't know anything about her short of, you know, what I've researched with her. But the way she's portrayed to us here in the United States is that she... now anyway, is that she is essentially an old senile woman now. And there's always talk about dementia, and you know, they showed from when President Biden was over there, she was walking around carrying a sword, cutting a cake with it and making her look crazy. And it just seems so odd to me that both of her sons are pedophiles. You know, Prince Philip, before, you know, obviously before he died, his big quote was he wants to come back as a, you know, a disease and kill 90% of the population. That's not nice.
Yeah, but he's always been like that. The thing is, Prince Philip is the sort of guy who does not give a fuck. His quotes that he's come out with, this is not a new thing. He's like that because he just doesn't care. He doesn't give a fuck, you know? And I think that's just, he's from a bygone era that's now gone, but he's still living in that era. So he was still acting like it, that's what it was. And the thing is when stuff like that happens over here, like he says something inappropriate or he does something inappropriate, everyone's just like, oh, for fuck's sake, not again. What's he done now? It's like, you know, when you get the kid that's always up to no good or up to trouble, it's like that. It's like, God, what's he done now? And people don't bother about it. They don't make a massive fuss about it. They don't make a headline news. It's just, it's there for about a day. But everyone's like, yeah, it's just what it is. It's quirky. It's funny. You know, just leave him to do what he wants to do. He's an old man. He's lived his life. He's fought his wars. Let him do what he fucking wants. Because let's be honest, when we're that fucking age, we're guaranteed that we'd like to fucking be exactly the same age, exactly the same way he is. It's just not giving a fuck.
Oh, yeah. That's the perk of being an old man. You cannot give a fuck and no one cares.
Exactly. You know, it is. But when it comes to Queen, obviously, she's adored over here, as you can obviously imagine. You know, it's she is massively adored. And the legacy, she's getting old and it's going to be a national travesty when she goes. And it's not going to be it's going to be sometime very soon, I would imagine, because she's not got long left. But it will be a huge national tragedy because she's going to leave behind her a legacy that nobody else will be able to touch. What she's done in her lifetime as the Queen has been absolutely phenomenal. Nobody else has done it before.
He's been the Queen for, was it 75 years now? Is that?
Yeah, longest reigning monarch, yes. Nobody's been anywhere near it.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so she's been head of state for longer than most people are even alive. So yeah, you got to give it to her for that.
Exactly.
She's kept the place from lockdown. So yeah.
But the thing is, she's old. You know, it's a typical sort of thing. She's old. She might be a little bit quirky. She might turn in. You don't. But the thing is what she wants to portray, because the way you look at it, you don't want to have that vision of the Queen. As I say, if she is being old and senile, obviously I'm not going to say anything otherwise because we don't know. So what? Let's do it. She's earned the right to be crazy. She's earned the right to cut a cake with a sword, because at the end of the day, what she's done is just...
I'm not lying. I'd cut the cake with a sword too.
Oh, I'd do it right now. I don't give a shit. Exactly. I'd jump off a table and cut the bastard thing, you know? Leave that sword. Get me a lightsaber. I'll do that, I know. You know what I mean? But it's a crazy situation, you know? I mean, you obviously talked about Biden there. I mean, I take it you're not a Biden fan.
Well, I'm not a politics fan in terms of that. I am not a Biden fan. I was a Trump supporter, and I think that Donald Trump was a good president for what we were doing here in the United States. But both parties are controlled. I don't believe politics are real. I think it's something that's meant to keep us distracted and to, you know, quibble over things that mean nothing, because the decisions are basically made. You know, and there's a good quote about the... you may know who he is. Montague Norman is former head of the Bank of England. He said back in the 20s, his famous quote from him, that basically we control both parties, and you know, the central banks are the ones who are in control of everything, and you know, we'll let the peasants fight amongst themselves with politics while we're making the real decisions. So that's sort of the way I've always viewed things. But I thought Donald Trump was a good president for what he was doing, but he was still an actor.
Trump was the sort of guy, from an outsider, I think he wasn't the best president, but he was the best president for the situation the US was in at the time.
Yes. Yeah.
He's a hard bastard. He knows how to get stuff done. He's determined. He doesn't stop. He's like a fucking dog with a bone, he will go for it. Yes, he might not be perfect, but at the end of the day, you needed someone like that to get you out of the shit that was happening.
I agree with that completely. And then there are levels to this. So when I say something like, you know, they or the government or something, I don't believe that Trump is on the same team as whoever's controlling Biden, which I think is the Obama people. But they're not both on the same team. You know, the Obamas, Clintons, and Bushes, they're all in their own little crime syndicate that they've got together. And there's so many connections to all of them together. It's wild when you really look into their pasts. And, you know, Trump is not necessarily like them. I mean, he was a businessman. So, you know, he said exactly how it is. You know, he goes, yeah, I was their friend because I paid them. You know, we did, you know, I needed them, I paid them, and we got things done. Yeah. When I stopped paying them, they stopped liking me. And that's pretty much how it is. And I don't think people were quite ready to hear that yet, but it's I mean, it's a pretty obvious situation. I mean, I'm a fan of all this corruption and stuff. I get a kick out of it, because when you see it, it's like it's so in your face. Like, it's upsetting, but it's also kind of funny, because it's, you know, they're not even trying to hide it. And it's, if they are trying to hide it, no one even knows what to look for anymore. So they don't, that's why they're not trying to hide it anymore.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah. But I've heard of that situation before, obviously he stopped paying them. So yeah, they stopped becoming his friends. I've heard that analogy quite a few times over the past year, 2 years sort of thing, but it's a funny situation. And Anthony, I mean, what do you think about, I mean, obviously you're into the kind of this sort of thing. Where do you see this year going? You mentioned something bad is going to happen. What's your opinion on the rest?
I'm hoping nothing bad does happen, but I'm saying that essentially something bad has to happen for them to keep their control. You not being from here, I don't know how the United States is presented in the news to you guys, but I can't imagine it in any kind of a good way. Just like you guys aren't necessarily presented to us in a good way. No one ever is here.
Nah, of course.
It's always tongue in cheek, like, oh, haha, we did better than them, and look at how silly they are. And of course, that's not real. So, essentially, during Trump's presidency, everyone was, saying that Donald Trump was a bad guy, and he was portrayed as being a bad guy. And nobody liked him, but that wasn't really the truth. He had a lot of support here in this country.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't believe that he necessarily lost the election. We'll just put it that way. Mm. And there have been forensic audits done here in my state of Arizona. There was a forensic audit done that proved that there was election fraud. But nothing's being done about it, and they're just sort of sweeping that under the rug. And we have to just sort of accept it and move on from that. And the premise that is being presented is, oh, we found these irregularities, but we're going to make sure that it doesn't happen in the next election. But it doesn't happen because what already happened did happen. It's my opinion it had to happen, because I don't think that like I said, I don't think Donald Trump wanted the country to go in the direction it's in now. That being said, not a fan of Joe Biden's. I think that there has to be a complete, unfortunately, I agree with what a lot of the elites are saying. You have to tear down a lot of these things now. A lot of things don't work, and people are starting to see that, and I think that's what they want you to see, but they're planning on us tearing it down and having the UN or this other group come in and take its place. I think we need to build our own systems, and we need to go about it in a smart way, and maybe not tear it down and blow it up the way they want, but we need to reform it the best we can. If we can't stop it, and we don't, it's my understanding that we are involved in a, we'll call it a World War IV. We are in a psychological operation right now, and we have been for several years, and we don't know it. Most people don't know it. And until you know it, you don't know that you need to do something about it.
Right.
And I think what you're saying and what I'm agreeing with is that people are starting to see it. They're starting to wake up to it. I think they're trying to manufacture that to where we do violence or have some sort of a civil war. And that's the wrong thing to do. And I think that people are smart enough not to do that, but I think that they are scared. And when you have scared people, then a lot of this, it's coming as a shock to people. We'll say that.
Okay.
And they're starting to wake up to it. They've never experienced it. They thought they lived in a perfect country. Now they're seeing that they don't. And it's a scary situation, and when there's fear involved, some bad things will probably happen. I don't have optimism for it, but I'm hoping that it doesn't go that route. But I think that provided that if there is no conspiracy, there is nothing wrong, then at the end of this year, then we will have our midterm elections. We will very obviously take back, the House and Senate, and a lot of the COVID stuff stops here in the United States. At least the mandates and the forced, vaccines and all that. And I think if it stops here, it's going to stop other places, because other places are going to realize that, it's not going to be allowed. Unfortunately, there's no part of this, and I'm not one of those people who like to compare things to the Nazis and this and that. That's overdone. But this literally is a Nazi operation. If you look at their propaganda, what they did, leading up to the Holocaust, that's the same thing that's happening here. Just replace Jews with unvaxxed. It's the exact same thing. They're trying to cut you off from services, or trying to cut you off from day-to-day life. In New York, that's a huge state here. I don't even know how many people. There's over 60 million people living in New York. And that whole state, you have to be vaccinated in order to go into grocery stores. You know, there are ways around it, obviously, but that's where they're going with it. And,
yeah,
you know, again, on the CDC website, there are these things about, they call them shielding camps, and how they're going to start taking people who are in contact with people and putting them in shielding camps and quarantine camps for 2 weeks. And, you know, you have to test every single day. And if you're, you know, negative every single day, then they let you out. You know, they're building these camps, and, you know, you look at Australia, they have them. But you know, they're building them all over, you know, here in the United States. I'm sure they're building them other places too, but I mean, you know, I'm speaking for here. They talk about, you know, taking cities, you know, to portions of your city, and, you know, condemning off certain areas of it to where that's your area you can go if you have COVID or if you've been in contact with COVID places. And they're going to start doing this in, you know, the small, you know, rural areas first, and they're going to start moving it to cities. And then, you know, if you live in a city in the United States, it's bad for you. It's not going to be any kind of good stuff. Especially if you're in a democratic state, it's not going to be a good thing.
Right.
And that's one of the things, that's in these documents. You can look at all these different, you know, scientific experiments done with mice and how they populate in cities, and, you know, how they go in scarcity, and how, you know, you introduce disease to them, and, you know, watch their behaviors. And here's another thing, just taking the mice out of it. I forget what it's called right now, but it's basically a real world simulation of up to date everyone's data right now. That we have, that all these tech companies have, they run through a simulation to where they have working models of you and I in these simulations. And they tell you what they're going to buy, what they're going to do, how they react to certain things. And these are things that they admit they have, and that they use to, the way they word it, to better market to us, and you know, to tell us, you know, things, anticipate our needs and this and that. But in reality, these other documents talk about them using these things to make avatars of us in this new metaverse type of thing that they're doing. And, you know, there's laws passed that even after we're dead, they can use all of our data and our likenesses and our voice, and they can use that within the metaverse, and our loved ones can download that and have conversations and speak to us. And it sounds, when you hear it, it sounds, oh, well, that's kind of like a nice thing to, you know, but it's not a nice thing. It's a digital hell. And I think that's, it's not going to be good for us, it's metaverse. And again, he says it doesn't mean we have to do it, but Klaus Schwab, we're going to own nothing and be happy. That's the whole thing of the metaverse is, you know, we're going to go into these little pods, and we're going to use our own body warmth to power the pods, essentially, as in these documents. And
the Matrix, I think.
Well, and here's the thing with the Matrix. All of these things are literally plans from the 1970s. And they make these movies and they say, oh, it's from this and that, but it's a way of programming. That the Matrix is based on these documents. And the Wachowskis, they're their own, they're creeps. I'm going to say that right now, but they're into all kinds of weird things and Satanism and things I don't want to get into, but they are inside of a loop of, we'll call them social engineers. A lot of these movies are done in a way to give us predictive programming. It's a at best no bad motives behind it. It's predictive programming to usher us into a new way of thinking, to where when these things start to happen, it is more acceptable and palatable to us. Not in a good way. This is pure Satanism, and it's you know, it's sigil magic. It's revelation of the method.
I don't say it was Satanism, because the woman who created the Matrix is obviously the person who wrote it. She's come out and she's talked about it in quite in depth, and she's talked about it saying it's like the Matrix is a sequel to the Terminator. She wrote the stories for it, and she wrote the books and all that sort of stuff. And it's basically what it is. It's like John Connor, which it's all religion. It's all done in religion. Like John Connor, Jesus Christ. It's the coming of Jesus Christ. Same with like, Terminator. John Connor was the resurrection of Jesus again. And then in the Matrix, Neo was the same sort of thing. And they're all linked together. So I wouldn't say it was saying it. I was saying it a completely opposite way, to be quite honest. I think it's I think the Matrix and the Terminator films probably is given the impression that if that does happen, it gives people hope that there is someone out there who's going to do something about it.
Well, and that's the, in my opinion, that's the Antichrist giving them false hope. Again, it's all of these things, they get their ideas from these other documents, and these people attend these meetings, and I'm not saying that they're necessarily bad, but a lot of these people go to these meetings, and this is how these meetings work. So let's say the World Economic Forum, Trilateral Commission, CFR, they have these meetings. These are open to the public. Anyone can go to these. And a lot of time they even encourage you to come to these little roundtable groups they have. Right. And then you feel all special. You're going there. You go to the meetings, and then they all break off into these little groups within the groups. And then from there, you're working on a compartmentalized thing that someone else across the way is working on something else. And then your ideas are going around, and you're telling everybody else these ideas, and they're formulating their own plans. And then if they like your idea, they're going to bring you to another subgroup. And then from there, you just work your way up. It's the same way as going to, you know, the Freemasons or anything else. So these people who, let's just say again, there's no conspiracy. And let's just say this, the lady who, you know, wrote the books on the whole thing is, you know, she's just a creative person, and she's writing these books, and these people are saying, oh, you know, we can actually do this though. And they start, you know, that's a lot of people say that about Arthur C. Clarke. They use him as an example. Arthur C. Clarke is a demon. He is a bad guy. He is definitely part of the power structure. He is part of, when you say they, he's one of they. You look into his whole background, he's an occultist, he's a Satanist. He is right involved with the whole thing with founding of NASA, which is a whole other occult thing. If you ever read any of his stuff, Childhood's End is his big thing. And that is essentially... That's the plan. This is going to sound wild, so let's just say that first. Okay. If you've never read Childhood's End, here's a quick synopsis of it, a quick breakdown. There is a alien species that comes. They tell the world, you know, we're here, we're coming in peace, we're going to give you, you know, this technology, we're going to give you medical stuff, and everything is going to be great. And they stay in their ships, and you never see them, and they're this benevolent thing that's here to help you. And that goes on for a while, and then the children, as time goes on, people start becoming sterile, and you're not having kids, and this and that, because of these medical procedures that they've given us and this technology they've given us. And essentially it all comes into an overbrain type thing, to where they want all of our consciousness to be put into a computer and then beamed back into the spaceship. And then they come down and they're going to help the children, you know, repopulate and this and that. And first of all, I don't believe in aliens from outer space. That's not what I'm saying. But there is a collective thought of these tech billionaires. And again, these go back to, you can pull up this from the CIA website, go to their website, and they have all kinds of documents on it, but they have something called the Gateway Experience there. And that is essentially, they tell you that space travel isn't real, and that it's all about interdimensional travel. That's where things are at, that's where things are happening. You can get there various ways. You can use drugs to get there. You can meditate to get there. That also leads to remote viewing, and that goes into Project Looking Glass. It goes into the Montauk Project. It goes into all kinds of stuff with the Philadelphia Experiment. It's funny that all these things are, you say them and you've heard them before, but you don't necessarily know what they are. And you look into them, they're actually real government things. But so the Gateway Project, essentially, it has this team of physicists, and then they have this other team that are doing remote viewing, and that they are taking drugs and doing basically Kundalini yoga and doing deprivation chamber stuff and doing all this sort of thing to meditate and to send their mind into other dimensions. And they mapped out all this way of interdimensional travel, and they talk about making contact with entities, and during this contact, this is an off world. They refer to it as alien, but it's, you can call it alien. It's an off world intelligence. That's the same thing that when you look into what CERN is doing. That's what CERN's doing. They're doing super, particle acceleration they are opening portals and black holes and trying to, their own words, they're trying to contact the gods of old. This is what they
cool, actually. I like that idea.
That part is cool. I completely agree. That is cool, but it's also, you have to think about it, what it is. I mean, we don't know what these entities are. So are they demons? Are they something not demonic? I don't know. I've had psychedelic experiences to where I've had we'll call them contact with entities. I've taken DMT several times. That's a very interesting substance. Are you familiar with DMT at all?
I've done acid before, and my mate turned into a lion. Literally, it was fucking the freakiest thing ever. She turned into a lion, and literally before my eyes, she mane everything, freaked me right out. Tried to get help from my mate, and he's behind the fucking sofa hiding from the lion. He saw it too, and I'm like, for fuck's sake, that was fun. I was only like 20 at the time. That's the younger, that's 17. It's mental.
Well, DMT is a lot different than acid. DMT is it's derived from a plant, from two plants, and it is a natural substance that's been used for thousands of years and different cultures. It is they call it the spirit molecule. You will have a religious experience when you take DMT. The best way to describe it is it shows you the foundation of what the foundation of what the universe is. You will see shapes and colors that you've never seen before, but you'll know instantly what they are. You will have contact with entities not of this world, and they'll tell you they're not of this world. They can look like different things. Sometimes they will, put themselves as aliens. Sometimes they put themselves as, little jesters. Sometimes they put themselves as different things. And you will... they don't speak to you in a way, they're not speaking English to you, and they don't physically speak to you. They speak to you with your mind, but you know instantly what they're saying, but they're not speaking to you in a language that you can understand.
Right.
But you know what it is. And it sounds like nonsense. I understand that. But when you look into, you study it, and there's like actual medical studies on what DMT does. When you dream, your body is producing DMT, and your dream is DMT related, essentially. When you're on it, though, it's a completely different thing than a dream. Like you're wide awake. You can have your eyes open, you can have your eyes closed, and you're going to be in a completely, you're here, you're present with everything, but you're not seeing the real world. You're seeing something different. That's what I call the real world. This right here, I don't think this is a real world. I think we're in I don't like saying a simulation because that gives the wrong idea, but I think we're in some sort of a physical simulation. I think that we are, you know, we are here for a reason, and that leads into, you know, flat earth stuff in a way. And here's a funny story. Flat earth. So the very first time I did DMT, I had already made up my mind that I had seen enough to believe that the earth was flat. But I asked the entities, I said, I need help with this. Explain it to me. They laughed at me. They made fun of me. And then they had me get into this very clear,
mindset.
I guess we call it a ball, like a, hamster wheel, kind of like a hamster type of ball. And they had me get in there and they said, the world is spinning at 1,000 miles per hour. And they spun me around at 1,000 miles per hour. And in my mind, I now know what it feels like to spin at 1,000 miles per hour. And it's not pleasant. Then they pulled it real tight and I stopped and they said, or are you just here, not moving? I said, I'm not moving. And then they laughed at me again. And then, you know, they essentially told me that the world was flat, but what they tell you doesn't necessarily mean it's true. They trick you and they lie to you and manipulate you, because I believe they are low vibrational, not necessarily demons, but they're entities that are not of this realm and shouldn't be here. And I think they're amused by us. And I think that they try to make deals with you, and that leads to something else.
Oh, definitely. Well, I'll tell you what, if I meet these guys, I think I would be friends with them. They seem cool. So, yes. So
right, but, they are cool.
But anyway, we've been going for a bit of time here, Anthony, you know what I mean? So it's probably wrap this up sort of thing, because it's getting late. It's nearly 9 o'clock my side, so nearly bedtime. I need my beauty sleep, mate, you know what I mean? Get myself sorted. But
sure.
It's been an absolute pleasure having you come on. It's been refreshing, to be fair, having someone and talking about this sort of stuff. I love it. We need to get you back on again, because I know we could have a longer episode and chat about other random stuff if you're up for it.
Yeah, I'll come back on. We'll actually get into some stuff. You know, we didn't really discuss anything this time, but, you know, I'd actually like to come on and tell you all about the Flat Earth. But real quick, just for why I'm here, I'm in a band called Vorzug. We're a death metal band. If you want to listen to it, it's vorzug.info. We are putting out a new album that is all about the manipulations and depopulation agendas that we are currently under. The World Economic Forum, the UN, Bill Gates blocking up the sun, all of those great things. And so vorzug.info, if you're interested, don't go and listen to that. If you're not interested in death metal or you're not interested in this wild stuff, because that's what all this is about. But yeah, look into the stuff I'm talking about. It sounds crazy, but just look into what I'm saying. And Klaus Schwab is not a good guy, neither is Bill Gates.
What a way to send off. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You have a good night.
And you.
Bye.
Right
now. What is he? What?